This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 14th of February 2021. And today is the contesting edition with news about contests coming up, and we give some particular attention to the John Moyle Memorial Field Day coming up next month. We also have a discussion on amateur radio assessments and the call for them to go online. It's been 55 years since we decimalised our currency, and I'll mention that later in the program. News West is produced by WA Amateur Radio News, and our primary target is Western Australian amateurs. However, we're being heard around Australia and internationally. News West is available on air, online, and on demand. Visit our website, vk6.net, to find out how. I want to talk today about amateur radio assessment arrangements in Australia. However, I do need to clarify something. My copy of the latest amateur radio magazine arrived yesterday, and because I'd already started to outline this article, I thought I'd better be up front and tell you that before I made my final draft, I read the article in the amateur radio magazine by Chris, VK4 Yankee Echo, on this very subject. So to avoid being repetitive, I'll discuss what he said. Chris is making a very good argument for getting amateur radio exams online and streamlining the assessment and awarding of certificates process. Chris's article is well thought out mostly, with evidence about what other countries are doing and his thoughts about where Australia should go. And he's right, the present paper-based process is cumbersome and requires bundles of paper to be mailed back and forth across the continent and to be processed by hand at the other end. Processes of this nature really do belong in the last century, and here we are still shuffling paper, especially now at a time when the mail service is overloaded. There have previously been calls for the processes involved to be streamlined and to go online, and I think there's no question that this needs to happen. There's been a fair bit of blame placed on the Australian Maritime College, and they aren't entirely blameless for how things work and for the time-consuming, cumbersome processes that we're locked into at present. I do think, however, that Chris was a bit too savage on the AMC, and to weave them into the impending demise of amateur radio was unfounded and is no doubt based on the Wireless Institute's sour grapes attitude that still prevails after they lost the deed. Get that? They lost it. And let's be fair, the basic process, e.g. shuffling bundles of paper back and forth across the country, is one that the Australian Maritime College inherited. They didn't invent it. It's the way it's been done almost forever, or maybe at least since 2005 when the Wireless Institute first entered into the deed with the ACMA to conduct the assessments. Is it fair to say that the Australian Maritime College should put the process online? The WIA didn't, and they had the deed for, what was it, 15 years? Or near enough? There's a common denominator in all this, and that's the regulator, the ACMA. They still own the examination, assessment, and issuing of certificates process. They've simply farmed it out to another organisation to do the actual work, allowing them to charge fees. That's what the arrangement was with the Wireless Institute of Australia, and is now with the Australian Maritime College. The ACMA has no heart for amateur radio, and quite frankly I believe they wish we would all simply go away, hence their proposal to put us all onto a class licence with no protection from interference. Bring on the Chook Band on all the amateur radio bands. That'll be great. Anyway, I believe also that the exams, assessment and issuing of certificates won't go online until the ACMA wants it to. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
The 2021 CQ WPX Ritty Contest is on right now, and it started at midnight Saturday and ends 23:59 UTC Sunday. If you haven't used RTTY before, RTTY stands for Radio Teletype, and it's fairly easy to get running on your PC-linked transceiver. So if you're new to RTTY and interested at least having a listen, you need to get onto it right now. We won't go into the rules because they are almost identical to the CQWW contest, and besides, it pays to peruse the rules yourself rather than rely on an abridged description that we would be giving you. The rules are on the website cqwpxrtty.com. That is cqwpxrtty.com. I note with interest the bit in the rules that says single operators are restricted to only 30 hours of operation in this contest. I think most of us, there's no danger of breaking through that rule.
It's a touch over a month until the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. The aim of this contest is to encourage and provide familiarisation with portable and field operation and provide training for emergency situations. The rules are therefore specifically designed and focused to encourage field operations. The contest is run each year in memory of the late John Moyle, who was a long-term editor of the Wireless Weekly, later becoming Radio and Hobbies, and then later Radio, Television and Hobbies from 1947 until his untimely death in 1960. He served in the RAAF with distinction and was responsible for a number of innovative solutions to keeping radio and radar equipment working under difficult wartime and working conditions. The WIA decided that a suitable long-term memorial to John Moyle would be a field day with a focus on portable or field operation. The contest has been conducted annually ever since. The rules of the contest have gradually changed over time and are still revised regularly. The contest is still for portable or field operators, though home stations can of course take part using a different scoring system. Though multiple operators and club stations are actively encouraged to take part in the contest, they are not competing against the single operator stations, and in effect, there are two separate contests run at the same time. Hence, single operator stations take part in their own contest against other single operators. The rules have no mention or additional requirements about COVID safety, and it's therefore incumbent on those running the multi-operator stations to observe any COVID precautions and requirements that may be in place at the time. This year's John Moyle Memorial Field Day will be held over the weekend of the 20th to 21st of March 2021 and will run from UTC 0100 on the Saturday to 0059 UTC on the Sunday.
This is VK6ARN and you're listening to News West.
The Peel Amateur Radio Group is holding a couple of activities over the next few weeks. The first is the PARG Slow CW Contest. This contest is all about encouraging people to give CW a go. It will not be 20 words a minute sent perfectly. Far from it. There will be more hits and giggles than anything else. Originally, it was set up for club members only. However, we would like to extend a warm welcome to other club members as well. So come and join us for 2 hours of fun on Saturday 20th of February 2021. The second of our events is our swap meet, which will be held on Saturday 6th of March 2021 in the Mandurah Bowling Club from 0800 for sellers and 0830 for buyers until 12:30. Entry fee is only $5. We believe this is the first swap meet in WA for about 12 months. So it is a great chance to search out a bargain or two for those projects you need to finish. And, of course, a few yarns with fellow enthusiasts. For more details on these and other activities that the Peel Amateur Radio Group is conducting over the coming months, head to our website www.parg.org.au and go to the What's New page. We look forward to catching up with you soon. 73s.
The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is an Aussie amateur radio contest which, although it's open to both home and portable stations, is primarily aimed at portable operation. If you go portable far enough away from the urban crush, the first thing you'll notice is how quiet the bands have become. You will have left the majority of the QR mic behind. So let's talk about what portability means and how you can operate portable. Firstly, portable, especially in the domestic appliances scene, meant something that could be carried about. There were some tax advantages. I think it was in the duty-free scene, where portable goods attracted less or no import duties when you brought it home with you from overseas. As a result of that, there were domestic electrical goods with handles on them, VCRs, transistor radios, even television sets. If they had a handle, they were portable. Portable in the amateur radio sense has a different meaning. in amateur radio portable means that you're operating away from the station address. Portable operation can be a handheld radio or running HF on a battery power in the shade of a tree. Some people make an extraordinary effort to set up a portable station to work a contest such as the John Moyle. With a large multi-operational station, there could be, and in the past have been, tents, campers, caravans, gazebos, generators. A very important part of your portable station is antennas. And especially if you haven't run a portable contest station before, antennas. You could put up several HF antennas to cater for all bands. However, these days, it's much less effort to use an antenna that will work on all the bands. You could use something like a G5RV or a doublet. If you make the doublet long enough, you can use it for 80 and 160 meters. The trick with VHF, UHF is to get a vertical antenna up high enough if you're working a location that's a bit out of town. You could erect some sort of a mast or simply throw a light rope up into a tree and haul the vertical as high as you can. Thirdly, you'll need to power those radios. If using batteries, consider how to keep them charged, be it with solar, generator, or via the car, or a combination of these. Whatever works well is fine, but you need to think about how to do it before you start the contest. Next, you need to think about the nice things like shelter, things to sit on, tables, etc., somewhere to sleep, and how you'll be fed, and to be equipped for toileting and taking your rubbish home. So if you're setting up in a bush or farm location, make sure that you have permission to be there, or at least make sure you won't get caught. Safety is important. We're still in the high fire risk areas, so we can't light cooking fires. If running a generator, make sure you clear the area of combustible material, especially on the exhaust side. Good luck with your planning of your portable station for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. It's a great opportunity to develop or hone your portable operation skills.
I think the thing that we like about the Aussie contest is the fact that we're getting together. It doesn't matter if you're a single operator in your man cave at home or a single operator out in a bush location. There's this, we're all in this together sort of thing going on as we make contacts around the country. The same applies to a multi-operator station. It could be in someone's shack, or it could be set up in a bush camp somewhere. Before the contest arrives, there's a bit of chat between the clubs about where their stations will be set up in order to avoid being too close to each other. And speaking of multi-operator contest stations, are they a good thing or a bad thing? The answer to this question is yes. There are pros and cons either way. Multi-operator stations, apart from having a good supply of operators, are also valuable socially within the club or group, and an excellent training ground for newcomers to the hobby and contesting. The downside of large groups like this is that they could serve to deplete the number of stations in the contest. You know what I mean. 20 people turning up to run a station would take a conservative half a dozen stations out of the contest. The size and structure of multi-operator stations is entirely up to the club or the group running them. The main objective is to get out there, have a go, and make some noise. 73s.
On HF, VHF, and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Coming up soon is the ARRL DX contest. The objective of this two-part contest is to encourage American and Canadian stations to expand knowledge of DX propagation on the HF and MF bands, improving operating skills and improve station capability by creating a competition in which DX stations may only contact American and Canadian stations. One contest period is CW only, and one is phone only, and you may use all or some of the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meter bands according to your license grade. For American and Canadian amateurs, the aim is to work as many DX stations in as many DXEC entities as possible. DX stations that is stations outside of America and Canada, the aim is to work as many American and Canadian stations in as many of the 48 contiguous states and provinces as possible. The contest is in two parts, with the CW contest on February the 20th to the 21st, 2021, and phone on March the 6th to the 7th. The contest begins 0000 UTC Saturday and runs through to 2359 UTC on Sunday. Special rules have been made for multi-operator stations in 2021. The ARRL has issued temporary accommodations for multi-operator stations competing in the 2021 International ARRL DX Contest, CW and phone. Individual team members may operate from their home stations in conjunctions with multi-operation stations. The home stations must be within a radius of 100 kilometres, that's 62 miles, of the multi-op station, and must be within the same DXCC entity, US state, or Canadian province. I strongly suggest that you visit the ARRL contest website to examine the rules and other important information about this contest.
Looking through the latest amateur radio magazine, I came across the VK6 notes section with a very good item from the PL Amateur Radio Group showing how busy they have been, and another from, nobody else. You could be excused for calling me a pious prat for criticising, because there wasn't anything from WA Amateur Radio News either. The rest of us are all guilty of neglecting to feed information to Steve. So I guess what we all need to do is to get behind Steve, who collates the VK6 notes, to give him something to collate for the next issue of the Amateur Radio magazine. Ready? Go!
In come the dollars, in come the cents.
So today is the 55th anniversary of the introduction of decimal currency in Australia. I guess some of you may not have been around at the time. I was still a teenager. Well, just. Then some years later on, we introduced decimal-based systems of measurement, that is metres, grams, litres, to complete the replacement of old imperial systems. What I'm grateful for is that schools spent a lot of time teaching decimal systems alongside the prevailing imperial systems. Teachers spent a lot of time drilling us with this base 10 stuff. We learned by rote all the prefixes. We'd chant milli, centi, decimeter, hecta, deca, kilometer in order to ram it home into our little heads. At the time, I had no idea why we were learning this stuff. However, it became apparent when they started talking about introducing decimal currency in the 1960s. So this drumming into our brains certainly paid off. When quite a lot older, I became involved with amateur radio, and it was easy enough to recognise and recall the systems that were pushed into our brains all that time ago. So, for what it's worth, happy decimal currency anniversary. I hope this makes sense to you.
Be prepared, folks, when the coins begin to mix on the 14th of February 1966.
Have you ever thought that you'd like to contribute items to News West, or even to join the team? If you're not a contributor and you feel as though you're missing out, you can fix that by recording items and emailing them to newswest@vk6.net. Now, if you're not sure how to go about it, email us and someone can show you how. Or if there's enough interest, you know, I'm talking three people, we can run a short course on how to write and record items, and that's always a useful skill set for anyone to have. Our team uses Audacity software for recording and editing news articles. It's professional grade software, it's free, and it works on Windows, Mac OS X, and Linux platforms. Our email address is newswest@vk6.net. Just get in touch and let us take it from there.
So are you a green thumb, a novice gardener, or someone who gets in the garden because the missus said so and she expects you to know all? Well, the VK6 gardening net might be right up your alley then, to stop all that marital noise and to make you look really good. The gardening net is an open forum net for amateurs to share their passion and interest in gardening, from fruit and veg growing, pests and insects, soil conditioning, seed production and propagation, to preserving your own harvest. This Sunday at 5 p.m. Western Standard Time, our topic is, what are we planning to grow in autumn and winter in Perth? If you have some gardening tips to pass on, have some gardening questions, or even want to learn what this gardening thing is all about, then join us on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Western Standard Time on 3.620 Lower Side, 73s. This is VK6, Juliet Echo Fox.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. News West is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Bob VK6 POP.
Good morning once again. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 14th of February 2021. What do I have today? Well, I have from Gus the following: a Kenwood Tango Sierra 950 Sierra Delta X-Ray with built-in power supply in mint condition and asking $1,800 firm. Please contact Gus for that one. VK6 Whiskey Bravo. His email address is similar, vk6whiskeybravo@yahoo.com. Email again, victorkilo6whiskeybravo@yahoo.com. Gus's phone number is 0407-030-592. Again, 0407-030-592. The next group of items comes from Ron, VK6 Alpha Romeo Echo. He has an ICOM IC7600 HF and 50 MHz transceiver in very good condition. There's an ICOM IC718 HF all mode transceiver new. There's a Yaesu Fox Tango 736 UHF VHF excellent condition. There's a Yaesu Fox Tango 290 Romeo 2 meter all mode excellent condition. There's a Kenwood Tango Romeo 851 Alpha 70 centimeter good condition. A Yaesu Fox Tango 912 Romeo 1296 MHz UHF FM good condition. A Yaesu Fox Tango 480 Romeo 2 meter all mode transition transceiver good condition. A Kenwood Tango Sierra 430 Sierra HF old but working okay. A Yaesu Fox Tango 101 HF also similarly elderly. A Yaesu Fox Tango 625 Romeo 6 meter all mode no old as well. Four power supplies, 20 amp, 25 amp, all good condition. There's a Hanson VSWR meter, excellent condition. Two only high power transmitting tubes, 833 alpha in box as new, or almost new anyway. A number of double sided circuit board pieces as new. Some second hand ceramic valve bases, plus old valve types 813, 807, etc. And Ron may be contacted on his telephone number 0477 662817. Again, that 0477 662817, or email to Ron and Marie Figure 2 at bigpond.com. I spell Romeo Oscar November Alpha November Delta Mike Alpha Romeo India Echo Figure 2 at bigpond.com. And that's enough for this week. If you have any items for next week, please contact me. The email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Until next week, 7-3 from me and from him.
Thanks for listening. News West is compiled, recorded and broadcast by volunteers, and I'd like to thank everyone that contributes in any way to our weekly effort. Thanks to the News West team this week, Roy, Mike and Jeff, and to casual contributors. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors. It's a great network of people doing their bit. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer, and I'm still looking for a successor. As you've heard, next week we look at amateur radio history. Meanwhile, we saw a report from John, VK6NU, during the week that says he's worked DX every day this year. And you know how he does it? He gets on air. So can you, if you get on air and make some noise.